subjects is not just something we inform ourselves with. No? It is this knowledge is meant for information. It is really meant for transformation, and that starts at the moment where you isolate some things from what you have heard and put it into daily practice. I would like to give you an example. Yesterday, in one of the lectures of Hari Parshad, I believe the second one, he talked about, what was his subject? Smaranam. Do you remember that he gave a practical exercise to do Smaranam? Who of you did this morning? Oh, this is for our Sangha, very, very good, because we are the lazy Hare Krishnas. We like to think of ourselves as advanced, but we have to revisit this idea. You know, when you hear something, and it makes sense to you, you should immediately form a habit out of it and make a practice out of it. Because really these subjects cannot be understood with the mind alone. The mind is often not very useful for spiritual life, in fact. But they are revealed to you at the moment where you are practicing it. So I was very pleased to see that maybe 5% of the audience practiced what they heard yesterday. 95% are still, I think, need to push their spiritual life a little bit forward. When I was young, the place where I lived was, believe it or not, a train station. Yes, I lived on an island, Fehmarn it's called. And, I lived in a villa. We had not the whole villa. We had only one level of the villa for our family. And the other part was restaurant on the down floor, and believe it or not, a few rooms for the train station, to manage the train station, because before that villa there were train tracks. The train would come, it was an island train, you know, maybe 4 times a day the train came and stopped, and people would get in and out of the train, and then they moved on. So what I saw is there were altogether 3 tracks. One was going towards the mainland, you know, towards the ferry, and it was going over the Fehmarnsund, the strip of water which separated our island from the mainland. It was going to the ferry, and the other was train track was going in the opposite direction towards another harbor, Put Garden, and from there you could take large ferries to Denmark. So they've had 2 tracks before our apartment, and I would look. And I also became aware that there was a 3rd track where the trains, which were not working any longer or not moving any longer, would go and park so to say. They would stay there. I have seen the same thing in our spiritual movement. There are three tracks. Devotees move on three tracks. One is going forward towards spiritual advancement. Another is going downwards towards material life and compromise. But the majority is on the third track. That is their park, their terrain somewhere, and they stay where they are. In this Eastern retreat, and by the way, statistically, that's always 80%. 10% of the membership of a spiritual movement are moving forward all their life. They are just thinking about this. 10% become critical and disenchanted, and they leave their spiritual efforts. But this percentage is not so interesting. The ones who move forward is a relative small percentage, 10%. And the other is 10%, which is critical, a relatively small percentage. What is with the 80%, the large majority? This is composed of people who are fine with Krishna consciousness. Yes, they come for Jamashtami. Yes, they like kirtan, sing. Yes, they also will engage in philosophical discussions. But they will not move forward. And when I took this count, you know, it was a typical count. I asked you who practiced what they heard yesterday. And it was only, maybe it was, I'm a little critical, maybe it was 10%. We need to see how we can take these spiritual subjects and use them for our own transformation, my dear devotees. We should not go onto this track where our progress stopped, where we park. And yes, I would love to today give another, I would love to give a small lecture on the holy name. The organization, when they heard what I was talking about, they thought, well, the subject matter is Smaranam, and you go now to Shravanam. Are you not comfortable with Smaranam? Now, I want to say in the outset, I'm most comfortable with Smaranam. In fact, I'm very interested in it, and I'm writing at the moment, trying to write two books. One is for the major, for the public, and the other for practicing devotees. It's very, very important. But I think, like Hari Prasad presented yesterday, that kirtan, or the chanting of the holy name, supports Smaranam, and Smaranam supports kirtan. So I find this lecture will be on kirtanam, shravanam, and kirtanam, and I will give you a three-step program how you can make spiritual advancement, and I will ask you after 1 year who of you did it. I will not ask you the next day, because it is something which you need to grow into. But I will ask you, I will look at you. And Hare Krishna. Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All of us, please. Om Namo.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Because we really want to stop around 9 o'clock to, so that you have enough time to take prasadam and prepare yourself for Hari Prasad's session on 11 o'clock. I will just immediately go into the text here. Dharamadya sarva shreshta nama sankirtana.
Dharamadya sarva shreshta nama sankirtana.
Niraparadhe namo loile paya prema dana. Niraparadhe loile paya prema dana. Dharamatya sarva shreshta nama sankirtana.
Dharamatya sarva shreshta nama sankirtana.
Niraparadhe nam loile paya prema dana. Would someone like to chant as well?
Dharamatya sarva shreshta nama sankirtana.
Yes, and please one Vaishnavi. Yes. So this verse is the second verse, the two verses 70 and 71. 70 says, among the ways of executing devotional service, the 9 prescribed methods are the best, for these processes have great potency to deliver Krishna and ecstatic love for him. So there are many ways in which the soul can turn to the Lord, and of those many ways, 9 are singled out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said to have bring immediate results. Why are these 9 processes so glorious? What is the reason? They have the potency to deliver love. They make you a loving devotee with love for Krishna in the heart. Now, Mahaprabhu continues. He says, of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. Haridas Thakur, he echoes this. He says, by this chanting, gradually, krame, step by step, alpakale, in a very short time, sarva siddhi hoya, he attains all perfection. So, this is Prabhupada writes here, a purport. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu gives the following directions in his Bhakti Sandarbha. Chanting the holy name is the chief means of attaining love of Godhead. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor on one's having taken birth in a good family. But then he says there is something where it's dependent on. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. So we should chant in a humble and meek way. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances, and austerities, because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he attains the complete perfection of life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by pizza. No, sorry. Little tired still. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And then there are many glorifications, many shlokas which Prabhupada says. One of the verses is from Rupa Goswami. Nikila Shruti Muliratnamala Dyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ayi Mukta Kule Upasyamanam Paritas Tvam Harinama Sangshrayami. O Harinama, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. So he paints a picture here. Through his poetry, there is the holy name, and the holy name has toes. A name with toes? What is that? A name has syllables, no? Not toes. Well, we hear here in the first verse about 2 forms of Krishna. One is his Swarup. His Vigraha. And the second is Naam. Perhaps this is the greatest mystery in Krishna consciousness, at least for me. How can the name be a person who has also toes and hands and everything? That is a secret which needs to be revealed in our hearts. The mind and the senses cannot understand. Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyai. The dull senses can never understand, also not the dull mind, how Krishna is Krishna. That is how the sound form, the mantra murti, the form of Krishna in the holy name, is Krishna himself, no? So, yes, here Rupa Goswami, from the level of realization, speaks that the holy name is standing here with his toes, and there are the Upanishads, the prime contents of Vedic knowledge. No, they are offering an arati to that form. They worship this form, and not only the Upanishads. The verse continues, you are eternally adored by liberated souls, such as who? Narada and Shukadev. O Harinam, Paritastvam Harinama Samshayami, I take complete shelter of you. Now this does not mean that other processes are not there. Rupa Goswami is the one who wrote the first manual on Ashtakaliya Lila Smaranam, and from his 8 verses describing the different pastimes of Krishna, which devotees who want to become absorbed in meditating or reminiscing Krishna, from his 8 verses, all the literature, Krishna Bhavanamrita, Govinda Lilamrita, they are stemming forward. No? He is a great Smaranam person, Acharya, very, very great. No? It's not either or. They support each other. Okay, you have the idea of what this lecture will be about. Now let us offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bacharine Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paskatyane Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gopakdavinda Jayatam Sujato Pango Mama Manda Gadaya Gati Natsavasva Padambolyo Radha Gangana Mohano Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are encouraged here to take to this one process which is taking prominence in the nine processes of devotional service. And we are meant to chant it. How are we meant to chant it? Do you remember? Avoiding the offenses. They all come from the false ego. Some say they come from inattention, others say they come as long as you think, I am the body, aham mameti, and things around me are mine. If you, in other words, are sunk with your consciousness in the material reality, then you have a false ego, and then you do commit offenses like you want to increase your following, and therefore you give the holy name to unqualified people, or you want to save your sense gratification, and therefore you chant in order to avoid any negative effects of sinful life, they all come on, and finally you do the verses thing, offending Vaishnavas. Yeah. So this false ego is has no chance to work in the field of humility, and therefore Mahaprabhu always gave this instruction: if you want to attain perfection in the chanting, you must. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this, says it like this: you must do everything you can to avoid being in false ego and acting in a humble way, not in atapi. There are also many, many other instructions at the end of this beautiful work, where Mahaprabhu asks Haridas Thakur questions. That's in the 15th chapter. It's the Bhajan of Confidential Worship. There are many, many beautiful things are explained, including meditating on your spiritual body and rendering service to Krishna in the Swarasika way. You know, this confidential subjects. You will hear eventually, or perhaps even here, about all these confidential things. And then he gives a summary, and he says three things will help us. We can please sing this. I will sing in front of you. Sadhu Sangha Sunirjana. Nijadrita Bhava. Eti na bale labi,
eti na bale labi,
mahima swabhava.
Mahima swabhava.
He says three things help in this process of chanting. First, associating with saintly devotees. I feel this is what we are doing here. There are saintly devotees here in the audience. But then the exact different thing, staying in a secluded place, alone with Krishna, by yourself. And the third is being determined to get away from the parking position in spiritual life. These are three things that make one glorious. This I say. I fail to see where is this I say, but it is, this is in this translation here. Yes, it's maybe because it's a summary of this. So here are wonderful description. Associating with saintly devotees, there we do kirtan, there we do glorification, there we do shravanam and kirtan, shravanam, kirtanam, and so. But then we go to a secluded place by ourselves. It's a little private, it's personal, no? And there we do our japa. And while we do japa, this is explained in the chapter, we engage also in smaranam in due course of time as our heart becomes more purified. And this is done with great determination. And once one does this, one becomes glorious. This is what the verse says. This is the summary how to cultivate spiritual life in this book and attain the goal of spiritual life, that is our original position. I would like to bring our attention a little bit on this point of chanting the holy name. I think you will understand because this is what I do. I travel around, give holy name seminars and retreats. So because I'm not very intelligent, I better stay with what I can present. Anuvritti Shabda, the Vedanta Sutra says, it's by sound that we will be liberated. This is a sound religion. Mahaprabhu taught basically four mantras. One we are very accustomed to chant, it's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The other, which is where Prabhupada says, this is another way of chanting Hare Krishna, is this one. We will try to sing it with you. If it is there, I do not know. It is not there. But you are very perceptive. Haraye nama Krishna Yadavaya namaha. E nama Krishna Yadavaya namaha. Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan. Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan. Hare Ram Krishna. Sorry, how do we say this to bring it in the... Krishna Yadavaya Namahadi. Hare Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namahadi. Hare Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. 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 Krishna Yadavaya Namah Hari. Krishna Yadavaya Namah Hari. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Yes. the way it appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita is Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Now I have it. But somehow, for singing, if you bring the Hari inside, then it goes better. And Narottam Das Thakur developed it like this. But this is the mantra. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sing this with all the devotees. It was very famous. He would also sing other songs with the holy name, not just the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but it was soon declared to be Maha, the main mantra, because its origin goes really, really far back into the Kali Shantara Upanishad, which is part of the Krishna Yajurveda, very, very ancient scripture. The third mantra, or third holy names which Mahaprabhu chanted, do you have any idea? Yeah, this is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, please. Krishna, 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 hey. But he chanted the Gopal mantra. That's a little, that has two versions. One is 10 syllables, and the second is 18 syllables. I can't tell you this mantra out loud. It has to be given in a sacred initiation. And then he often chanted, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo nasteva, 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 gatiya anyata. The holy name, Hare Nama, of Hari. No, that should be chanted because it's Kali Yuga, and in Kali Yuga this works best. Mahaprabhu based his teaching as like any acharya on the Vedic scriptures, and as I said, in the Kali Shantara Upanishad, you will find a beautiful glorification of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which we have for you. Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It appears like this. Sometimes the order is reversed. And then iti sodashakam nam nam, iti sodashakam nam nam, kali kalma shanashanam, kali kalma shanashanam, nata parata ropaya, sarva vedeshu drishyate. The translation, well, the context is, Narada Muni came one day to Brahma and said, I can see bad omens. The Kali Yuga is coming quickly. Is there anything which people can do in this age of Kali to cross over the dangerous ocean of this age? And Brahma, without hesitation, he didn't think long, or he was not... I don't know, it was maybe this, maybe that. He immediately said, straightforward, these 16 names. You know, he first chanted the 16 names, and then these 16 names counteract the evil effects of Kali Yuga. After searching throughout all the Vedic texts, one cannot find a method so sublime as the chanting of these names. And in the next verses, he explains, there is a result when you chant. The coverings of the soul are removed by this chanting. And he gave an example. When the sun is covered by clouds, we can't see it. So in the same way, it's rare to see the soul, the spirit soul in this Kali Yuga, but just like the sun is easily visible when the clouds are dispersed, the soul is easily visible upon the removal of the clouds of ignorance, which happens due to the chanting. Then Narada Muni said, there must be many rules to chant this so that it works. And Brahma said amazingly, there's no rule. Anyone can chant any time, pure or impure, and do this. But of course, the tradition gives many, many suggestions and so on. But basically, it's easy because we are so unqualified. The Ananta Sanghita repeats this. It gives the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and so on, and says these 16 name, 32 syllable mantra is the Maha Mantra in the age of Kali. And it is by this mantra that all living beings can attain salvation. One should never abandon this mantra, adopting other religious processes practiced by less qualified souls. No, don't give this up. Stay with this, stick with this. Nor should one chant contrived combinations of Krishna's names, you know, some speculative mantra, that contradict the pure conclusions of the scriptures and are filled with illegitimate emotions. There is one mantra, but I don't want to get into conflicts with other schools here. Regarding this entirely spiritual Maha Mantra, which frees one from the material existence, the original teacher, Lord Brahma, has said, the Kali Shantara Upanishad has declared this mantra to be the best means of deliverance in the age of Kali. So yes, chanting is so important. The Brahmanda Purana echoes this. He says, by chanting the Naam Sankirtan, specifically the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one situates himself in the complete spiritual reality. So, this is the Shastra evidence in Mahaprabhu and so on is there. I would like to tell you a little pastime from the Chaitanya Bhagavat about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It concerns a very qualified Brahmana called Tapan Mishra. He was actually the father of whom? Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, yes. So when Mahaprabhu went to East Bengal, he used to teach at the banks of one river, Padmavati River. He was glorious, you know, he was at that time in his Grihastha ashram. He would sit there like the glowing sun in the morning, surrounded with many students who flocked towards him to learn from the great Sanskrit Pandit from Navadvip and so on. Tapan Mishra was a scholar and he didn't think it's necessary to go. He stayed nearby and he was sad because he experienced a strong spiritual crisis. I think you know when you are in a crisis, and it's not just something small, it's a major crisis. It blocks you totally. So he stayed mostly at home. His crisis was he had studied all the Vedic scriptures, but he did not really understand what is the goal, the sadhya, the ultimate goal, and how to reach there, what he should do to reach there. Now, one night, a devata appeared in his dream. He was resplendent, shiny, and the devata said, hey, Tapan Mishra, there's someone nearby who can solve your confusion about what is the goal of your spiritual life and what's the practice to get this. But you must know, he is not an ordinary human being, but he's Naranarayan. And he has come to do paritranaya sadhunam, to save the souls, the sadhus, parita, and to dispel irreligion. So you must go and you present your dilemma and he will give you the answer. When Tapan Mishra woke up that morning after this revelatory dream, he cried and exclaimed loud, "What good luck I have!" By the way, this is not uncommon. I have met young devotees who told me that in their dreams, a being they could not identify, but they were not afraid, appeared and said, "Go tomorrow to the main street, someone will give you a book, and don't reject the book." I don't think the being told them to give a donation, but don't reject the book. And they went they got, I heard one Ishopanishad, one of my disciples had described this to me, that there was this. In the night, she was lying on her bed, and all of a sudden she knew there's someone else in the room, and usually one is afraid when there is an unannounced guest in the night in the room. But this being, or what it was, there was light around the being, and said, "Go tomorrow to the main street, and there will be someone who gives books out. Don't reject it, take the book." So the devatas are helping often those who want spiritual advancement. And Tapan Mishra was a case. So what good luck, he said. And in the morning he left to see the Lord. The devata had told him he's at the spot at the Padmavati River. And he stood a little in the back as Mahaprabhu was teaching. And in the end, he came forward and said, "Someone appeared to me in a dream and said that you would be able to solve my confusion because you are the God." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let us talk somewhere else. So later they met, and Mahaprabhu said, "So what is the confusion?" And Tapan Mishra said, "I've read the entire Vedic scripture. I don't know. Should I do yagyas? Should I do? And what's the goal of it all?" And Mahaprabhu said, No. "By chanting the holy names, you can achieve everything, including the goal of life and the means to attain it. Just chant and you will understand from this chanting where you should go and how to do it." And then he said, "I will give you a tip. I tell you one thing. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam." He said, "We live in the age of Kali. And in this age, the easiest way is to chant the holy name." And then he said, "This verse is called the Maha Mantra. It contains how many holy names of the Lord?"
16.
Really? Or three? Maybe you have to solve the secret, no? It contains 16 holy names of the Lord composed of how many syllables? 32 syllables. If you continually could also mean very regularly, as we heard yesterday. If you continually chant this Maha Mantra, the seed of love of God will sprout in your heart. then you will understand the goal of life and the means to attain it. My dear devotees, yes, we hear a lot of our philosophy, and it sets us on the right path. But as our very, very qualified speaker, Hari Parshad, yesterday said, these are general patterns, you know, they have been given. But your spiritual path is individual. You have to set out and do it, and you will see how it will bring you. Unexpected help will happen. And here Mahaprabhu says that the mantra will reveal everything like a seed. When you get a seed, you don't know what it is. Is it a mango tree seed? Or is it a Dutch tulip? Or what is it? Plant it in the ground, water it, and it will tell you whether it's a mango tree or kadamba tree or a German apple tree. Or everything will come and be revealed by this. That is what he says here. Now, as we hear this lecture, we say, okay, the Hare Krishna, Hare Rama dogma has been told yet another time. I know all this, I heard it many times. It didn't work for me. Is there something new, please? My dear devotees, it didn't work for me for 25 years, and I was desperate. I had heard lectures like the one you heard, and I felt, in fact, bitter and angry on the lecture. So I think this is a theory. It does not work, at least not for me. I will go now somewhere else in another movement. Movement, I don't like movements. But I will try something else. I was attracted to meditation at that time very deeply, as I am still. But I couldn't go. I told this many times because I had faith in Srila Prabhupada. I had been in his association. I had been in his room. I had served him personally, massaged him. I had received instructions from him, and I had seen his glories. And I knew he wouldn't like it if I would leave him, because he was so loving by his nature. So I began a research and found many things. And one thing I would love to tell you today is the three gates of chanting. Chanting will only work if you do it with bhakti. We heard a quotation the other day that just like salt will bring the quality of the potato and the sabji out, you need the salt of bhakti, or whatever prema was there, to transform your practice into a practice that is alive. Without this bhakti, your chanting or anything you do, anything you do will not be really alive. There are a few examples given in the scriptures. Your practice will be like the garden without fruit trees. A lot of work goes in maintaining a garden, but no fruit comes. So if you do bhakti, if you do your chanting or anything without bhakti, a lot of work, 2 hours each day, significant time, no? But no fruit. Or it will be like learning, hearing a scripture, but no comprehension is there. In this way, you need bhakti, or sometimes prema is said, in order to give life to your practice. And a very simple way for those who have, like me, who have not yet attained ecstatic love of Godhead, is this module. It's a creative model. It will, yes, there is the Naam Mandir and so on. But I want to say to you, when you visit a traditional temple in South India, you go through Gopurams, these gates, right? You go through the first gate, you go through the second gate, you go through the third gate, and then you come to the center, see there? In the middle, where the altar is and where the deity waits for you. In traditional architecture, a temple architecture, you can see that in the Haridev Mandir in Vrindavan, for instance, in Radha Govinda Mandir, you find first one hall, then you go through the next hall, then you go to the next hall, and then you can have darshan. This refers in temple architecture to a symbolic journey of the soul to God. You use your body, that's the first hall, your mind, second hall, and your heart, and then you have the darshan. So, in chanting also, you start first on the first level. You sit down, you pronounce the mantra very clearly. You can do this loudly, but when you are alone, it is nice to do it softly, whispering. Very lightly you do it. Then the next gate, you make sure you pass through it, is the mind. You focus it. It's called mana samharanam. You collect the mind first. You focus it. I always compare it with when you travel, you have to collect your things. Oh, the soap I get from there. What else I need? Toothpaste from there. One extra t-shirt because I'm going to a kirtan event and might sweat when I dance. Then I have, what else do I need? Miracle mouthwash I need. And you collect it from all over. So when you chant, you have to collect your mind, your thoughts from all over, bring it into one suitcase. That is the present moment, and chant there. And then comes the third gate. It's a devotional practice where you chant with devotion, no, with your heart. Like saying prayer, being prayerful, my dear Lord. For so many long years, I have been absent-minded, especially in the Hare Krishna movement. I was absent-minded. Before that, I used to sometimes pray. I stopped this. Now I turn to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. And in this way, you can reach very... This is for the Ajata Ruchi person, no? The one who has not yet developed taste, but he can do this, and Krishna will see the soul is trying his best. Okay, let me be merciful. In bhakti, you must know there's one law. It is the law of reciprocation. Yeya tamang prapadyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. In the degree someone surrenders unto me, I reveal myself. No? So Krishna sees, oh, he is trying, she is trying. My dear devotees, as you do this, the marrow of the heart will be cleansed. And I have I'm listening to the beautiful lecture series of Hari Parshad and the Shikshastakam. He has quoted one acharya there. When the marrow of the heart is cleansed, you see actually what is closest to the heart. Could you imagine who or what is closest to the heart? Krishna, why do you say this? He's there in the heart. Have you heard this? He's there. Otherwise, you couldn't function. You couldn't work. He's giving you the life, no? He's Prananath, the Lord of your life. So when you chant, this is, and then you will get the first spurtis, it's called. They will appear to you. And this is the experience of many devotees who chant. But they keep it a little for themselves. No one will say, I have this. This is not done in spiritual circles to talk so freely about personal experiences in public. But many have seen that what is closest, and Krishna's Rupa comes, and then from there so many wonderful things come. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this path, which leads into a spontaneous expression of devotion, is the dharma of the mind. And when the mind relishes these beautiful darshans and things like the form, how Krishna is so merciful, you will think his qualities. Oh, he's so merciful. He does not ignore me, although I have ignored him so much. Oh, man. Other things, everything comes from this. But of course, if you don't know about the process, if you don't know about Smaranam, if you don't hear what it means, how to do it, it will take a longer time to come. The Shastras always point us in the right into the direction, and then that has to be realized by the individual through practice. We will go again to the first slide after the text. There was the text. No, the next one, please. Yes, this one. Can we please sing this again? Sadhu Sangha Surijana Nijadrita Bhava. Sadhu Sangha Surijana Nijadrita Bhava. Eitina Bale Labi Mahima Swabhava.
Eitina Bale Labi Mahima Swabhava.
So, associating with saintly devotees, this means coming to these gatherings, then also staying in a secluded place. You have to, afterwards, you have to take something with you, and in your secluded home, you can apply what you have learned. And then being determined are three things that make one glorious. This I say, Haridas Thakur is saying that. So I hope it's a good translation. I will have to show it to our Hari Prasad, yes, to throw a glance on this. Yes, so this is I wish you all that you take something home. We will go again to the last slide now. You can, when you chant, make a simple body check. It's not only done in the airport. That is also done, can be done by you. Do you sit properly? Do you pronounce the mantra? Is there a disturbance-free environment around you? You know, then you can make a mind check. Are you focused on this? Are you going on automatic pilot, perhaps? Or are you really focused on this? Are you concentrated? Are you with it? And then you can also see what is with your heart. My heart is usually tired, exhausted, disappointed with myself and the world. That is my psychological condition. And in order to awaken my tired heart, I read verses when I chant. And These verses imbue my heart with some bhava, some good devotional feelings for and inclinations, and then the chanting goes very, very, very quickly. Or we say prayer. Well, you can say prayers like we do in the morning, the Shikshastakam prayers. No? And if you can chant them with understanding, it's all the better. And then you will see that the greatest treasure in Lord Krishna's treasure house, the holy name, will reveal so many things to you. Hare Krishna. So we have a little time, around 8 minutes. If you have any questions which are not so difficult, if they are difficult, I will give them to Hari Prashad Prabhu. Poor Namasi always has a question.
I was waiting for the hand.
Yeah. No, but it's good. Yes, yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Maharaj. So you said 2 points about 2 forms, Vigraha and Nam. And you said you questioned always how Nam can have toes. So, but then you said a secret. This is a secret which has to be revealed in our mind. And then on the end, you said, if we don't know how to do these things, then we cannot progress. So there is also, this secret can be revealed also when we try to get more knowledge about this.
Oh yes, very much. We are so important, Purnamasi. So important. And this is what it means to progress in spiritual life. Stay curious. There's so much important knowledge. Why do you think the acharyas have sat down and wrote this? And why do you think the tradition has this? Yes. Stay curious. Otherwise, you will stay on the parking and not move forward.
Maybe somebody would say, I will just chant and it will be enough.
Yeah. You can see, you should go to this person. Is it enough? Are you satisfied? Are you free from material desires because you are so full with ecstatic emotions and love? When you understand a tradition, you have to understand it broad and you have to understand it deep. You cannot understand it punctually with taking one puncture. You have to understand the whole scope of what it says, everything which is in there, and you have to understand it deeply. What is often done is that we see one quotation, one verse, one statement of Srila Prabhupada and say, this is the right way. Everything else is wrong. No? This is often done by lazy people and by people who like to have it as simple as possible. It's not even simple. It's just... I don't know, it is, I do not know why. But you must understand all the quotations. Have you seen in regards to Prabhupada, we have seen this very often. There is a famous quotation which is quoted in relationship to chanting. Devotees ask Prabhupada what to do with the mind while chanting. And he says, you just hear and chant, that's all. Where is the question of the mind? Yeah, but then Prabhupada also says other things. When you chant, you will seek Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you will see Krishna in Vrindavan and so on. And it is, there's a lot is going on the mind there. It is a reminiscing about Krishna. That will, that you have to go in both ways here. One is trust in the revelatory power of the holy name, and also fill your mind with the narrations of Krishna and the different processes of devotional service. From both directions, you have to approach your spiritual life. Maybe our Hari Parshat, do you want to, could you, is something coming to your mind which you would love to contribute to this question? Because I know you have thought about it and struggled with this question, apparently.
So the query is how important it is to know more? Yeah, of course it is very important, because in the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 40th verse, Krishna says there are three people who fall down in spiritual life. Agyascha Ashraddha Dhanascha Samshayatma Vinashyati. The three people who fall in spiritual life, and the first person he picks out is Agya. And we were saying Shilpa Goswami was calling himself Agya. And the meaning of Agya, the default meaning of Agya is one who is ignorant. Commenting on that verse, Srila Sridhar Swami says, ignorant of Shastra Acharya Upadesh, ignorant of the Shastra and ignorant of the entirety of the statements of the Acharya.
Wow.
So that is the first person to fall in spiritual life, because they do not have that particular strength which will sustain them in their spiritual life. It's right there in the Gita that one who is not very ripened in their knowledge on the path and not going to make it very far. And therefore the need also to have Guru Janas who are Uttam Adhikari. And the Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Kanishth Adhikari, there are two factors which decide it. First is their faith in Shastra, Shraddha, and second is their capability of explaining Shastra and resolving doubts. That is how Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Kanishth Adhikari are decided. So one who doesn't have much faith in Shastra and one who cannot give proper arguments based on Shastra is Kanishth Adhikari. One who has good faith in Shastra but cannot give convincing explanations from Shastra is Madhyam Adhikari. And one who has very strong faith in Shastra can also explain Shastra from different points of view, giving convincing answers, is known as an Uttam Adhikari. And therefore, it is important to have your doubts resolved so that you can progress without any knots in the heart. There are many knots which remain for more than decades, and sometimes it just needs a single line answer to clear that knot. Because of not finding that proper person and that proper answer from the proper source at the proper time, people live with knots in their hearts for decades. It's very important to study oneself. And it's also important to study from the under the guidance of a sadhu. Studying oneself is also recommended in the Gita, in the 17th chapter, where Krishna says that when he says, who describes the austerity of speech, and he says that anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat, and he says swadhyaya. Self-study is also very important. Often self-study is neglected, but it is one described as very important in the Bhagavad Gita, austerity of speech. So self-study plus hearing from the advanced sadhus, both is recommended to go deeper into the tradition. I hope that answers you.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I'd also like to say one thing, Maharaj. It's the quality of a very good speaker to reveal their vulnerabilities to the audience. And that you said that, you know, for some time you were feeling in your life that the process doesn't work and maybe I should try something else. I really commend you on, you know, revealing a side of your life which is personal, because often there are many speakers who may, you know, say that nothing wrong happened with their life. it's very easy to make perfection, but to be genuine on the stage is very difficult. And I really commend you. I think, you know, we should all applaud Maharaj for it.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much, Hari Parshad, for your wonderful answer. I'm trying my best, but I'm what I am. I think it you live much more happy when you are honest. So we will end our presentation here.